should be remembering and doing. And so I'm really appreciative of that. I'm so thankful that they shared that with us this morning. We're going to start into a new series this morning called Faith Prince. And I would like to invite you over the next little while to, I'd like to invite you to join me on an expedition. On an expedition. There's this picture that comes up here of these people who have traveled to the North Pole. I chose the word expedition because of its definition. It's more than just a journey. It's more than just a trip or a vacation. An expedition is a journey or a voyage undertaken by a group of people with a particular purpose, especially that of exploration. So we're going to start on this expedition over the next weeks and months with a particular purpose and looking to explore some things, especially in God's Word and how He speaks to us. One thing that you may notice about this picture of these North Pole explorers is that beside the fact that it's probably really cold there, you can tell that by all of the snow and how bundled up they are. You can't even see their faces because they've got those hoods pulled up. But one of the things that you may notice is that they have left their mark. And it's not just the flags that are displayed there that these people are holding up. It's not just the flags, but look at the footprints. Look at the footprints that you see. They've left their mark. They have been there. Explorers leave marks. They leave signs that they've been there, evidence of their lives, what kind of people they are, the impact and influence, the thing that they have on things and people around them. And they are impacted and influenced as well. They are impacted and influenced as well. There are footprints left on their lives and their footprints left behind as they explore and live and are in those places. So what is the particular purpose of our expedition that we're going to be going on? Well, our particular purpose is to discover together what it means to be a disciple. To discover together what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I know that some of you sitting in here, you know you've been reading your Bibles for a lot of years. And you go, disciple, well, I kind of know what that is. You know, I've been reading my Bible, I've been following Jesus for a long time. But I want to encourage you to engage with me. I want to encourage you to dig in. I want to actually encourage you, if you would, to kind of try to set aside some of our preconceived notions about what comes to mind when we think about discipleship and just start exploring it again as we dig into the Word together, as we follow Jesus, as we listen to His words and watch His actions, as He calls on us to be disciples, to be His followers. We all leave footprints. We all impact and influence people and things around us. But the question is, what kind of footprints will we leave? What kind of marks will we leave on the people around us and the things around us? What kind of mark? What kind of footprints? How about if we leave faith prints wherever we go? How about if we leave faith prints? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it tells us to live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. That's what we mean by faith prints. Having influence on people around us. Impacting the lives of people around us. Impacting the world around us. Faith prints. Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13 says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. That is leaving faith prints. And it talks to us about the engagement we do ourselves, the growth that we participate in ourselves, in our relationship with Jesus, as it talks about strengthening ourselves and strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees, make level paths for your feet so that those around you can be healed, so that those around you can find freedom, so that those around you can see the faith prints that are left as you engage with them. So let's get started. Let's get started this morning. Every expedition needs a leader, someone to follow. Someone to follow. That someone needs to be someone who shows up. That someone needs to be someone who knows the way. That someone needs to be someone who is willing to go there. And that someone needs to be someone who knows how to get there. So let's start with our passage of scripture this morning, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me. You can open up your Bibles if you'd like. The words will be up on the screen. We do have Bibles in the pews for those of you who would like to grab one and page through that thing and read it off of paper. But I'm going to read this first verse and then you follow with the next. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that it breathes into our lives through your Holy Spirit. Pray today that your word would speak to each one of us in places we need to hear, things we need to hear from you, that your Holy Spirit would minister, that your Holy Spirit would fill us up, that your Holy Spirit would breathe new life into each one of us, preparing us for our week ahead to go out and live our lives of faith and leave faith prints on this world. And we thank you and we praise you this morning. And once again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, first, we need someone who is willing to show up. Someone who is willing to show up. You see, as Jesus was put into that tomb on that first Good Friday night, as he was put into that tomb, his disciples, those who had followed him for all that time that he had been ministering, they'd come to know him and they'd come to love him, and they watched him suffer and die on that cross. And it tells us again that the women, they saw where he was buried. He went into a tomb. He was dead. He was dead. They had seen it. They had seen it all. The women had no expectation that Jesus would show up. No expectation. They went out and bought spices so that they could go and prepare his dead body. No expectation that Jesus would show up. But all they found was an empty tomb. The disciples as well, and we read different accounts in the different Gospels. You know, they in John here, if we backed up just a little bit, we would see Mary going and telling Peter and John that the tomb is empty, that they had seen this. And so Peter and John, they raced to the tomb, still really with no expectation that Jesus is going to show up. They race to the tomb and they look inside and his grave cloths are laying there where he had been laying. And the scripture even tells us, that the cloth that was wrapped around his face, it was folded together in a place by itself. That was how they found it. They didn't find it like grave robbers had been in there and stolen this body. They found these grave cloths. They found an empty tomb. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They didn't expect Jesus to show up. And so the scripture, John 20 and verse 10, says, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. I'm sure kind of confused, kind of wondering, what is going on here? Where is his body? Where have they taken him? And then as we read our passage of scripture, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, they were hiding. They were afraid, waiting for the chaos and the unrest to pass over, waiting for people to forget that they had been a follower of Jesus, wondering when that knock would come on the door. But the knock never came, did it? Jesus didn't need to knock. Jesus showed up. Jesus came and stood among them. Think about that for a moment. Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't that be incredible? All of a sudden, I mean, it'd be kind of scary to begin with. Whoa, somebody's in my room, my house. But Jesus showed up. He stood there. He came. Jesus showed up. In this world, in our lives, Jesus shows up. He showed up before the cross. In Matthew 1, verse 21, and then again in verse 23, we read, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus showed up. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus showed up. He showed up before the cross. Jesus showed up at the cross. He showed up. In John chapter 10, we read, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus showed up at the cross. Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus showed up for the cross, at the cross. He was there willingly. He made that choice because he loves and cares about you and me and the rest of the world so much, his creation, that he showed up. And he continues to show up. He showed up after the cross. See, somebody that I need, if I'm looking for someone to follow, I need somebody who is going to show up. Someone who is going to be there. I spent almost 30 years in the sheet metal trade. And as the years went by, you know, I started out as an apprentice and then a journeyman. And pretty soon I was running jobs. And then I was a job soup. And then I was estimating and project managing. All those stuff. I kind of moved my way up the ladder. You know, like the American dream, right? Anyway, did all of those things, but one of the things that I always tried to do, and I think this is one of the things that my dad instilled in me, was a work ethic. And so, like, I didn't want anybody else to show up on the job before I did, because I was the one who was supposed to be setting the pace. I was the setting the example. And so I would always make sure that I showed up early on a job so that the guys that were working for me on that job, they showed up too, ready to, you know. When I'm looking for somebody to follow, I'm looking for somebody who's going to show up. Someone who's going to be there. And Jesus showed up. Just like he had told them that he was going to, he showed up. He showed up after the cross. He came and he stood among them. And this has been working on me over the last couple weeks. I spent some time in my time of prayer over this last week just trying to be silent and reminding myself, just speaking the words, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Now, I can see all of you. I know you're alive. I know you're here today. You've been singing. You've been sitting in Sunday school classes. All of the different things we do on a Sunday, you're all here. I can see that you are here. You are alive. That's good. And I can interact with you. I want to have that same kind of relationship with Jesus. Because I know he's alive. And I know that we were created to interact with him in that way. So I spent some time in my devotions just focusing on that fact that Jesus is alive. And Jesus, I want to meet with you this morning. But he came and he stood among them. And by his appearance, Jesus declares his authority over life and death. By his appearing, he declares his authority over life and death. Amen. Come on. This is good news. So I'm wasting my time if Jesus doesn't show up. I'm wasting my time if Jesus is not going to show up. But Jesus shows up. John chapter 10, finishing up a verse I started reading before. I have authority to lay it down. He's talking about his own life. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. He has authority over life and death. And for those who will enter into a relationship with him by faith, he has the authority, the ability to give you new life. He invites you into this relationship. He invites you into this new life to pass from death to life. The scripture tells us in our sin, we are dead. Even though we're all here together, breathing and walking around, we're before Jesus, we're corpses. We are dead, and he says, I will give you new life. Passing from death to life. And that's right here, right now, folks. That is right here, right now. Eternal life doesn't happen at some point in time when we're like teleported off of this planet and things like that. I want to just hear, I'm here to tell you that when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be like this thing where everybody is just sucked off of this earth and I don't know. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth and those things coming together and God putting things back the way he intended them to be. So you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing the Garden of Eden. I'm looking forward to seeing what that was like because God spoke over his creation. He spoke words like, it is good. It is good. And that's a word that just, well, it's okay. Well, that's good. It's not great, but that's not what that word means at all. It is good. It was good as in perfect, as in wonderful, as in grander and greater than anything we can ever imagine. I don't think Marcy will mind me sharing this with you. When she came back, when we came back from sabbatical and people were asking her, how was sabbatical? She would say, well, it was good. And at first she felt like, well, that just doesn't really quite do it justice. It was good. And then she said it was, and then she realized and she thought about it. She said, it was good. You know, kind of in the way that God said, it is good over his creation. And that talks about who God is and what he does and what he wants to do in each one of our lives. He shows up. Are you willing to show up? Are you willing to engage? Are you willing to follow wherever he might lead you? And as we walk through this passage this morning, we're sitting here together, and it's easy for us sitting in these pews. It's easy for us in our Sunday school classes, in our life groups. It's easy for us in those settings to say, are you willing to show up? Yes. Are you willing to engage? Yes. Are you willing to follow? Yes. It is easy in these settings for us to say yes, because we are surrounded by like-minded people, and we gather together and we get excited about what God is doing, and we share those things with each other, and we encourage one another. It's easy in those settings. But to really raise my hand and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. What do you want me to tell them? And how long do you want me to tell it to them? Well, I want you to go and tell them this. I want you to tell them, I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to tell them that Jesus is alive. And I want you to tell them that as long as it takes for them to realize that this is actually true. What does that tell me? It tells me that when I go out into the world and I say Jesus is alive, there's going to be some people that are going to look at me funny. There's going to Good for you. That's your crutch. Have a nice day. There's going to be that reaction. We read that passage of scripture a little earlier, 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that never really, really, really clicked with me before. I was reading it this week. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, why would they accuse you of doing wrong? Because they don't like what you're doing. Because they don't like how you're living. Because they don't like that you are different. And so they're going to point their fingers at you. Right is going to be called wrong, and wrong is going to be called right. And that is the world that we live in. And that is the world we are called to show up in. And the only way it has any chance of changing is if we go out there as people of God, if we show up and live different. It's the only way. And it's not me, it's Jesus in me. Because Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up in my office every morning, whether I show up there or not. Jesus shows up into those quiet times that he wants me to go to, whether I show up or not. Jesus shows up in the lives of those people that he wants me to bless and help and share the good news with. He shows up in their lives, whether I show up or not. Jesus shows up. I can follow somebody like that. Can you? Will you? Someone who is willing to show up. There's more to it than just showing up. So you can have a leader that shows up. Hey, let's go to the North Pole. Well, how do we get there? I don't know. What good is that? We need someone who knows the way. Someone who knows the way. Jesus shows up. Jesus knows the way. And an expedition is not as much about destination as it is about experience and discovery along the way. Think about that for a minute. You know, when these people take these adventures and they go to the North Pole or they go to the South Pole because they want to explore these things, it's not as much about showing up in this place so I can say, hey, I showed up here. No, it's about what I find and what I discover and how I grow and how that impacts me and the lives of other people along the way. That's what it's about. So when we talk about someone who knows the way, and when we're talking about Jesus, Jesus makes the statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not just talking about jumping on a path and taking a beeline journey from this point to eternity. He's talking about taking a journey, and along the way, there's stops, and there's people, and there's relationships, and there's experience. That's what expedition is about. That is what journey is about. That's what faith is about. Jesus shows up in that room, and he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He showed up and he said, "Peace." One of the things I've been thinking about as I was reading through some of these accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's like here's one of those moments where Jesus shows up. He shows up in this room. And he could have looked at his disciples in that moment and he could have said, "Hey, you know what? These last few days have been kind of rough. And you guys sure didn't help at all. When I needed you most, you ran away. What in the world is wrong with you?" I mean, think about it. You guys even saw the tomb empty. And I told you I was going to rise from the dead, and you still didn't believe. You still had no expectation of me living. He could have said that. I might have said something like that in that situation. "Peace be with you." And in that moment, the disciples heard those words, words that he had spoken, in the same way that Mary, she was at that tomb, and she went away and she was crying, and she asked this person, because she thought it was the gardener, "Where have they taken him?" And it turns out it's Jesus. And he says, "Mary." And immediately she knew who it was. He says to the disciples, "Peace be with you." And immediately they knew who it was. Their eyes were open. Their ears were open. Their hearts were open because they knew. I mean, the scripture tells us right here, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And he showed his hands and he showed his side, those wounds, those scars that he had. After being in the sheet metal trade for almost 30 years, I've got a number of different war wounds that I could show you, places that I got cut and needed stitched up, and I've got scars now today. I mean, it's just one of those things that happen when you work with sharp objects, right? Jesus comes in and he shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And he speaks those words to him, familiar words, "Peace be with you." And he basically says, "I've been there. I've done that. And I am here now. And I know the way. I know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Who and what are we allowing to lead us? Are we allowing to influence us? Who are we allowing to lead us through life? What are those things that we're watching and listening to, and the people that we're engaging with that are leading us through life? Who? Because somebody's leading you and somebody's leading me. And if it's not Jesus, it's somebody else. And if this is the only time that you're showing up, if this is the only time that you're engaging with him, if this is the only time that you're following him, then you're not following him. You are not being led by him. You are being led by so many other things. which is why we see and hear about so many of the worldly ways that continue to get worse and worse and worse. We see the worldly ways continuing to creep into the church because we're spending more time with the world trying to be friends with everybody than trying to be friends with Jesus and allowing that to impact us and inform the way that we go out into the world and we share with people and love people. I'm not saying we separate ourselves from the world. No, Jesus told us to go out into the world. To go out into the world. Are we allowing Jesus to leave his mark on us so that we can leave his mark on others? Faith prints. Someone willing to show up, someone who knows the way, someone who is willing to go there. Because the leader can show up and the leader can know the way, but if he's not willing to go there, who do we have to follow? My greatest fear as a pastor fuels my greatest desire and has become my greatest hope and joy. So let me share with you what my greatest fear is as a pastor. My greatest fear is that too many of us begin this faith relationship with Jesus. We show up, we pray this prayer, we maybe start going to a Sunday school class, showing up to church once in a while, but we start this relationship with Jesus, but that's about as far as it goes. That's about as far as that relationship goes. So we struggle with our faith, in and out, up and down, all over the place. And our faith, our God, the one who we say that we love and serve, our faith, our God, is never allowed to lead this expedition. That's my greatest fear. And it goes for me as well. Who am I following? My greatest fear is that we go, I'm following Jesus, but we just really don't follow him. We just don't really engage with him. We don't really get to know him and allow him to know us. And so we miss out on so much. If you are not engaging with Christ, if you are not making God the center of your lives, your home, your marriage, your relationship with your children, your relationship with people at work and in the marketplace, if God is not at the center of that, you are missing out on so much. You really are. He has invited us to be a part of who he is and what he is doing. God is in the business of establishing his kingdom. That is what he is doing right now. And while we look at exterior physical things, we look out in the world and we go, he's losing. He's losing. This is not working out very well. His kingdom is in the lives of his people. His kingdom is established in and through you and me. He is establishing his kingdom right now. That is what God is doing. And he has invited us to be a part of that. He has invited us to be a part of who he is and what he is doing. And so I desire to grow in my faith and engage with Christ and to follow him. And I hope that I can help you do that as well. And I hope that we can help one another do that as well. And to go there with him. That is my hope and that is my joy. To go on this expedition with Jesus and to learn and to grow and discover and explore and engage with others and do this together, that is my greatest hope and joy. It's where we find it. We find it in him, in the fullness of him. In verse 21, and again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It sounds like a tall order. But Isaiah, going back to him for just a moment, he met with God, fell on his face. God raised him up, forgave him, cleansed him. They said, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, "I'll go for you." And then he said to God, "Where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do?" It's not always easy to go there with him, because there are times when he asks us to do some very, very difficult things. We have had the privilege of learning from the life and death of Jim Elliot for so many years, and from his wife's life since his death, of continuing to be committed to Christ, continuing to be committed to the mission, continuing to be committed to go there with God wherever he would lead. We've had the privilege of seeing that, because it doesn't make sense to us that God would send somebody somewhere just to have them die. Jim Elliot was young and he was energetic and he was on fire for Jesus, and he didn't get to live for very long in the whole scheme of things. But because of his willingness to go where Jesus sent him to go, there have been so many lives impacted and so many people saved that I'm not even sure that we could count the number. And I'm not saying that he's calling each one of us to go to our death. And yet, am I willing to share in his suffering so that I might also share in his glory, as Paul writes? Am I willing to go there? Jesus was willing to go there. He says, "Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Jesus was willing to go there. Are you willing to go there? This passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, I want to read this for you because it's important for us to understand that walking with Jesus, yes, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," because he's always with us each step of the way. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a moment here. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, we read, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Not everything that God asks you to do, not everything that he speaks to you is going to be easy to hear or easy to do. Especially if we're trying to do it out of emptiness instead of fullness. Especially if we're trying to do it in our own power instead of the power of Christ. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So there are things that we can be doing each day to engage with God in faith and grow in that faith and to know him and to be filled by him and to hear his voice and to know where he's sending us, instead of, you know, going out there into the world like I fear we do too often. Going out into the world in our own power with our own ideas about what people need and what we should say and where we should go and all of those kind of things. And we find ourselves just kind of struggling with it and almost fighting against God, because we're not listening to him. We're not following him. We're not going there with him. We need someone who's willing to go there. Jesus is. We need to be willing to go with him, to follow him. We need to show up. We need to follow his lead, because he's the one who knows the way. We need to be willing to go there with him, because we need someone who knows how to get there. We need someone who knows how to get there. As I was studying for this message this week, and I'm reading through this passage of scripture and kind of putting together these ideas, and this quite often happens, I realized that I've spent most of my life trying to blaze my own trail. I've spent most of my life trying to prove who I am. I've spent most of my life trying to live up to this, to prove that, to... That's not easy to hear. Because for over 30 years, in my own mind and heart, I've wanted nothing more than to follow Jesus. And to be told that I've been following him, but not maybe like I should be. There's some things he still needs to work on me with too, folks. There's some stuff he needs to work on each one of us with. I've realized I spent most of my life trying to blaze my own trail. And yet I've come to realize more clearly now than ever before in my life that I was not created to do this life on my own. I was not created to blaze my own trail. God created us as human beings. He created us to need him, to have relationship with him, and to have relationship with one another. I was not created to do life on my own. And in certain areas of my life, yes, God has called me to lead. And in those areas, with his help and with his direction, with his guidance, I need to lead. But he's also created me in other ways to follow. And in those places and in those times, with his help and his direction and his guidance, I need to follow. I've realized that. Always with Jesus as my example. Always with Jesus as my instructor, my teacher. Always with Jesus as my helper, with Jesus as my leader. I want nothing more than to follow him, to go where he goes. And he knows the way. He knows how to get there, what it takes. You know, these people who take these expeditions and go to the North Pole or go to the South Pole or go blazing trails through the Amazon or these different places people have gone, and we see the documentaries or we watch the movies and we think, wow, that is so cool. Wouldn't that be fun to do that? And I'm sure to some degree there is some funness to it, if I can use that word. There is some funness to it, but it's a lot of hard work, and there's some things that you do, and there's some things you better do if you don't want to freeze to death, if you don't want to get lost out there, if you don't want to starve to death. Jesus knows how to get there. And in verse 22 and 23, we read, "And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Receive the Holy Spirit. This is how you get there. Because he lives in you. Because he lives in us. Now you can decide to relegate him to a small corner of your life. To shove him into the broom closet, so to speak. You can do that. It won't be very helpful. And if that's what you do with him, he'll knock on that door every once in a while, let me out. He'll let you know every once in a while, hey, I'm here. If you need some help, he'll do that. He's faithful in that way. But if we just decide to leave him locked in the broom closet, it's not going to go well for us. But we have to choose. We have to make that choice. With that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, let me just talk about that verse for a moment, because I don't want any of us to walk away from here confused. Jesus is not giving his disciples the power to decide who is forgiven and who is not. That is not what he's doing there. Basically, what he's doing is he's saying to them, I am giving you the privilege of going out into the world and declaring the good news of my gospel and declaring to people the promises that I have made to them, that if they ask for forgiveness, I will be faithful and just to forgive them their sins and purify them from all unrighteousness. We have the privilege of being able to tell people that. Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you asked God for forgiveness? Do you really desire to be forgiven? Are you repentant? And they say, yes. Well, if you are, then God's forgiven your sins. He's told us that in his word. We have the honor and privilege of carrying the good news out into the world and proclaiming the promises of God in the way that we live and in the way that we interact with people, in the way that we speak to people. And so again, if we are not spending time with Jesus, the words out of our mouth are probably not going to be very Jesus-focused. If we're not spending time with him and learning his words and learning his ways and desiring to walk in those, I'm not saying that we're always going to do it perfectly. And sometimes I'm not even saying we're going to do it well. But is that what we are desiring? And is that what we are pursuing? Is that what we are shooting for in our life of faith? Or are we just cashing in a fire insurance policy? I just don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to ask Jesus into my life. Where's the hope and the joy in that? There is none. Not in that. And I'm not even saying that your journey and your calling is going to look the same as mine. You know, some of it is going to look the same because, hey, we're together in this, right? But each one of us has a relationship with Jesus and a calling from him and a purpose in our lives. And he wants us to engage in that. And he will lead us there. He gives us the great privilege and honor of sharing in the establishing of God's kingdom here on earth, in our lives, and in the world around us. So the question is, as I ask you to stand with me, will you show up? Will you show up? Will you engage? Will you follow? And as we spend a few minutes in prayer together here today, I'm going to challenge you to just ask God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to engage with you? What can I do to engage with you? Whether it's setting aside a time of prayer and devotion, whether it's something he's been laying on your heart to go and help somebody, whether it's, I want you to ask him. I don't want to tell you what you should do. I want him to tell you what you should do. Because he knows better than anybody what you need. He knows better than you, even, what you need. So as we spend this time in prayer, I'm going to ask you to ask him, what do I need to do? So with eyes closed and heads bowed and this altar wide open, and I'll be up here to pray with anybody if you'd like me to pray with you. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and for your grace, for your mercy toward us. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Lord, I confess that you are God. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord and Savior. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I want to follow you. I want to follow you where you lead because I know that you'll show up. God, I know that you know the way. I know that you're willing to go there, and I know that you'll be willing to lead me if I will follow you. And so, Lord, today, I want to show up. I want to follow. I want to engage. I want to be different. And so I pray today, Jesus, that you would speak into my heart and my life. You know what I need. You know what I need to take that next step, to be different. I pray that you'd tell me. I pray that you would show me. I pray that you would lead me and guide me. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us this morning. Holy Spirit, fill us up with your presence, with your strength, with your help for this week ahead as we go out into the world and we model Jesus for those around us. Wow, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all glory and honor and praise today. You are faithful. Help us to be faithful. You are who you are. You are God. Cause us to honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we go from this place, we go in your presence. And we want you to be at the center of our lives, at the center of our faiths, at the center of all that we do and say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray today in Jesus' name that as we go from here, you would bless, guide, and direct each one of us in all that we say and in all that we do, that it would bring glory to you and to you alone, for you alone are worthy. Thank you. We praise you. Oh, and we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns and who's coming again. Amen. Amen. Let me leave you with this benediction. Isaiah chapter 43. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.